Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk TriDelta. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mindy Tucker, TriDelta's VP of Marketing and Communications and Managing Editor of the Trident Magazine. We are now more than a month into this sheltering in place and staying at home and dealing with this unfolding situation around COVID-19. And as TriDelta continues to try to support our members, we've launched a new series called Three for You. We're taking some of the most important and relevant topics that you want to learn about right now and finding TriDelta experts that can come and share their top three tips or best practices with us. And so right now we're heading into May. May is Mental Health Month. So we wanted to take our focus there to our mental health. TriDelta's made many strides in promoting mental health and wellness among our members. Most recently, in 2019, we launched a program called Behind Happy Faces. It's a mental health program for our collegiate chapters, and it was made possible thanks to donors to TriDelta's foundation. We know that mental health has been a focus of many people during this particular situation with COVID-19. And so we've sought out some of our sisters in the mental health profession to share some Three for You tips with us. So joining me today is Dr. Sarah Bergamy. And Sarah is an alumna of our Gamma Gamma chapter at Dartmouth. She is a licensed psychologist and founder of Phoenix Rise. Phoenix Rise is dedicated to serving Denver's diverse communities with specialty areas in identity development, depression, anxiety, significant life transitions, loss, relational issues, sports and competition related challenges, and educational assessments for adults, adolescents, and children. That is a lot that she is doing here in Denver. Sarah, thanks for joining us today. We're happy to have you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm glad to be here virtually with you with appropriate social distance.
That's right. We are definitely social distancing on the podcast for sure. So I know some of the topics today are really going to resonate with our listeners in terms of how they're handling and processing this current situation. We're all trying to be very conscious and try to not to talk about what's happening as a new normal. We're all sort of, you start to say it and you're wait, this is not right. It's not a new normal. I think you agree with that. And it's actually your first tip. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you started with that point. I think we're going to keep hearing people refer to this time period as a quote new normal. And I can't say it any more plainly than this is not normal. Okay, there's nothing about this that is normal. No, I think there's a time and a place for the consideration of new normal. And that's when we know that something is going to be a certain way and that we're going to need to accept and adjust. This is not that time. This is temporary. We just have a hard time around this because it's really unusual. It's really unfamiliar. And we don't know how temporary. So our brains like to relate new things to old things and things we've experienced before. And, you know, how do you do that when we've never experienced anything like this before? So I often will ask my own clients to think of like another major life event, like something big that's happened in their life, whether it's just something big that happened to them or something big that happened in their lifetime. And to think about, you know, kind of how they think of that event now, you know, how they hold that event in their memory now.
Right.
And someday, you know, hopefully soon, we'll be able to look back on this and say, wow, that was really weird.
Yeah. One of my favorite things going around right now, this is a total sidebar on humor, is the person telling their former self, like, what's about to happen. And it is the most hilarious thing because if you think back to a couple of months ago, some of us would not have believed what was coming and what was headed our way. And there has been so much turmoil and so much change. And I think you're right that we're not really through it. We don't know what's coming out on the other end yet.
We really don't. And you know, that said, I think there's also this sense of, okay, well, maybe the one thing we know is that we're having a shared experience. You know, we're all in this together. And I think there is such a lovely sense to that, that it gives us that sense of, wow, we're not alone. But I also want to remind all of us, we're having different experiences within the exact same pandemic. So some people are finding themselves, for instance, like working more than they used to. Some people are working less. Some have lost a job. Some are furloughed and don't know when they might go back to work. Yeah. Some are figuring out how to help children like do school work from home. I'm talking kids that are in preschool. Like, yeah. How do you do preschool from home? And it's okay, you know, to acknowledge the loneliness that's coming in these unique experiences that we're having within the same experience.
Yeah. So let's dig in a little bit to the experiences and some of the loss that we've all experienced, whether it's, you know, seeing our friends, graduations, we don't have baseball, it's killing me. We're not having baseball. And then some of the much more tragic loss that's going on right now in terms of people's financial situations and even loss of life. You have a perspective on sort of how to look at this as incomplete loss. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think this is kind of an elusive time period because I think we can collectively acknowledge that we all know that we're feeling loss and we're feeling grief. But again, it feels unfamiliar in many cases. I think grief is something that even if the experience is difficult, we all have got some sort of experience with grief or what it means to lose something and go through even what we call stages of grief. You know, if people are using their good old fashioned collegiate textbooks, this is your Kubler-Ross model of grieving. Okay. This is moving through stages, denial, anger, depression, bargaining, and acceptance. And it's not that it's linear. And even in grief, we can move back and forth and up and down and cycle back through. And that can go on for a very long time. But I do want to bring up that acceptance piece usually has to do with knowing that something is a certain way. So when I think through what's happening now and this idea of, okay, there's grief and loss, a lot of the losses we're experiencing are what I call incomplete losses. We have an altered sense of our day-to-day lives. We do. We have our seniors in high school and college are not having their graduations. We've got collegiate athletes. I was a collegiate rugby player and swimmer, and I can't imagine not having my spring season. That loss is like unfathomable to me. And yet these things are occurring, and some of these losses are things that people are going to come to a place of grief and acceptance. And some of these, we're not sure if they're really losses. They certainly are losses right now.
Right.
We don't have our usual routines. We don't kind of know how to orient ourselves in our day-to-day lives, but we're not sure what we should be adjusting to.
Right. I think it's important to think that through. We have not come to the end of it. We just don't know what this is going to look like going forward. And we all handle these things differently. I know I'm handling it different from my older son, who's handling it different from my younger son. We just all handle things differently. So we're getting through it together, but we're also doing it really differently. What is your final tip on sort of how we be practical about how we cope with all this?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting one. I literally, like people to think about what are some practical things that can help kind of anchor you in something that feels more normal in the midst of this change and loss, in the midst of trying to figure out, how do I do every day? This doesn't remind me of my old life, And so one little piece that I'd be bereft as a psychologist if I didn't mention some like psychoeducation. And I like people to know that, hey, your brain is so designed to do what I call taking things for granted. And part of what it does, and actually this is, we usually think of that as being unhealthy, like don't take anything for granted. I'm going to tell you there are things your brain takes for granted that are wonderfully useful for you. Day-to-day life, usually we don't think about everything we're doing. We don't think about a lot of things. We do things automatically. It's efficient. I mean, our brains love efficiency. They like to get to the point. They want to put our energy on the things we need to really figure out. When everything changes and the ground underneath us shifts, which is what's happened during this pandemic, the things we can take for granted on a day-to-day basis, that's just not currently possible. So all of a sudden, our brains are dialed in to every last little thing that's happening, every detail. We're hypervigilant and we have less bandwidth as a result. So we're tired, we're exhausted, and we're exhausted from sitting all day sometimes. And so I like to tell people, be aware, be patient, and be generous with ourselves and other people. And then I know you asked for actually that sort of practical tip. And this is literally what I do at the end of work days, even when we're not in COVID. And that's what I call the Mr. Rogers routine. So if anybody else ever watched good old Mr. Rogers Neighborhood?
Everybody loves Mr. Rogers.
and he's, lots of features on him recently. So I think it's very timely.
If you don't know who he is, go out and Google the Tom Hanks movie and watch that and you'll get it.
Absolutely. But Mr. Rogers did this very certain thing. It was very repetitive. He came in the house, singing and so forth. And he would take off his work shoes and put on his tennis shoes. And he'd take off his jacket and put on his sweater. And so I actually tell people, while we're going through something that really has everybody's bearings all upended, literally change. Literally do a Mr. Rogers in your own way. And what that's really truly about is that our brains recognize patterns, especially behavioral patterns, and it also relates things. It's an associative organ. So it has scripts for what I call scripts for normal. So if you can literally think about in the morning, I'm going to put on something different than what I slept in, and I'm going to do my daytime. So I think plenty of us can admit that right now we're holding our favorite sweatpants, yoga pants, and our quote daytime PJs in much higher wardrobe rotation than we normally do.
Yeah.
And these are our creature comforts. We're looking for comfort, right? They can be wonderful, especially when we're relaxing or we're on vacation or it's a day off. In Colorado, that would be called a snow day. But it also tells your brain that you're doing something not normal. So if you keep not normal day after day after day, it can have a really real effect on how you feel.
Interesting.
So I'm literally suggesting to people,
and I have an even smarter reason to tell my kids they have to put different clothes on in the morning.
Boom, there it is. Yeah, you want to make sure you're breaking up the day and that your psyche understands what's happening. It'll better understand this and it'll actually end up being more comfort because it'll be doing something familiar. It'll help you mark time in the day, changing modes, breaking each day into chunks. And that's what most of us are used to, is actually breaking the day up into predictable pieces.
That's helpful. Thank you so much. This is all great information, a great different way to think about this. With this being Mental Health Month, it's so nice to just take a moment and think about, like, how am I getting through this? And what is my brain doing? I love how you brought in the brain on this because it really, when you put that together, it makes so much sense and it really does help us. So I appreciate all the wisdom you shared. I would love to let listeners know how they can find you and learn more about your work.
Absolutely. Well, in true, you know, social distancing and virtual times, my practice name is Phoenix Rise. And a lot of people are like, wait a minute, are you in Arizona? And I said, no, it's after the bird. It's after the mythological bird rising from the ashes. So that's just, you can find me at phoenix-rise.com. And I'm here in Denver, Colorado.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciated having you.
My pleasure. It's great to reconnect with TriDelta.
Thanks to Sarah and thanks to all of you for joining us today. We hope all of our members and your families are safe and that everybody's following the government issued guidelines regarding COVID-19. There are so many TriDeltas serving on the front lines right now during this crisis, and healthcare, law enforcement, and other areas. And really, our Delta love and thoughts go out to all of you as you continue to serve unselfishly during this time. We hope you liked this 3 for You experience, and you can find more 3 for You topics at tridelta.org/3for You. We'd also love for you to share topic ideas with us, so feel free to email us at podcast@trideltaeo.org. Please like, subscribe, and rate our podcasts. And TriDelta, we're about the 3 stars, but we love 5-star ratings. So thanks so much for talking TriDelta with us today. Join us next time. Stay safe and bring you.